dispensational differences. And I want to continue that today, and I want you to look at two verses of Scripture to begin with, John chapter 13 and Acts chapter 26. Now, I had planned on finishing up the message on the Lord's Supper today, but I'll do that next week because, like I say, I had planned on doing kind of an abbreviated message this morning. But at any rate, we've been talking about these dispensational differences. You say, well, what do you mean, dispensational differences? Well, our church studies the Bible from a dispensational perspective. And really all that means is that we follow more closely to rightly dividing the Word of truth than most churches do. A reason I state it that way is because all Bible students, all Bible believers, divide the Bible somewhere. Most everybody makes a division between the Old Testament and New Testament. Then there are some who make a division between the teachings of Christ and the teachings of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then they say the church started in Acts chapter 2, and so forth. We make a further distinction. I believe, and as a church, we study the Bible dispensationally in the sense that we believe Paul was the first person in the body of Christ. Further, we believe that the writings of Paul, Romans through Philemon, in those books we find the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. That does not mean that we exclude the rest of the Bible. That does not mean that we don't think you ought to study the whole Bible. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so we study the whole Bible. But we do not believe that the doctrine for us today is found outside of Paul's epistles. There are many things we can learn and many principles we learn by studying the teachings of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and by reading Hebrews through Revelation. But we believe that the church, the body of Christ, started with the Apostle Paul, and with that, the dispensation of the grace of God was given to Paul for the church, the body of Christ. I wanted to start by reading two verses. Now, so far in these studies, we've talked about the Great Commission. We've talked about water baptism. And we've talked about the Lord's Supper. These are doctrines that generally we find that the dispensationalist differs from mainstream religion on. And so we've talked about what our position is on those particular issues. All of those lessons are available online at our website, understandingyourbible.com. So if you want to go back and listen to those, you can do so. I noticed on our Facebook page that somebody had been listening to our messages, and they were not very complimentary, as often happens. And this particular lady wrote, she said, well, I found this site, and she said, I've been listening to one of the messages on baptism, and this guy's all over the place. Well, I don't know what all over the place means, but hopefully these messages are laid out in such a way that you'll be able to understand what we're talking about. And if not, go back and listen to them. And we always welcome and appreciate questions from our listeners via email or text or whatever. So if you've got questions, feel free to ask. And again, we hope that these will make things clear. Now today I want to talk to you about another dispensational difference, and that is the Apostle Paul. Dispensationalists believe, by and large, not all of them, but by and large, dispensationalists believe that Paul's writings are the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. We do not reverence the Apostle Paul because of his flesh. We put the same value on the writings of Paul that God does. Paul says that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. And as I said before, Paul wrote 13 books. In those 13 books, we find the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. Now, those that don't acknowledge that, what they do is they will try to reconcile the things that Paul wrote with the things that Christ taught and make them say the same thing. Well, you can't do that. It just will not work. In order to make them say the same thing, you've got to change what Christ said or change what Paul said, because they don't say the same thing. I was reading the other day on Facebook about a person that said, when Christ said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, drink, or put on, that didn't mean that those people didn't have to work. And that they did take thought for their life. Well, that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or put on. They were given that doctrine based on life in the kingdom where Christ was going to meet all their needs. That's why they sold what they had in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4 and laid it at the apostles' feet. If you don't think they were really supposed to do that, I would encourage you to check with Ananias and Sapphira. See how it worked out for them. They both ended up dead because they lied to the Holy Ghost. Now, there are several attitudes that people take toward the writings of Paul. And what I find interesting is that people that study the Bible really don't seem to have an issue with anything that the other writers write, but only Paul. For example, there are some that say Paul was the 12th apostle, that the 12 were out of line, the 11 were out of line when they chose Matthias. And so Paul was actually the 12th apostle because Matthias was not legitimate. Others say that Paul, all he did was really continue the ministry of the 12. As was pointed out in the Sunday school hour, there are those that teach that the 12 would not leave Jerusalem and were in rebellion against God, and they were out of God's will, and so Paul was saved and took over their job, which is ludicrous. Some say that what Paul taught was in error because it contradicted what Christ taught. And then I read this past week an article by a man that said Paul was just an outright liar, and that he lied more than once, and that what he wrote, most of it was his own opinion rather than by inspiration. Now, that simply denies the fact that we have a Bible that is totally and completely inspired by God. The easiest and most reasonable approach to the Bible is to believe it means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it. And so if Paul says something that differs from what Christ said, then we should not have a problem with that, because we understand that Christ was preaching in relation to a coming kingdom upon the earth, and Paul is preaching to the church, the body of Christ, who has a heavenly inheritance and is looking to be caught away from the earth. And those things are different. Now, I wanted to look at two verses to start with. In John chapter 13 and in Acts chapter 26. Look first in John 13, verse 20, just one verse. Jesus Christ speaking says this, "Verily, verily I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." Now let that sink in. Christ speaking said, "He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me." Look in Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is giving an account of his salvation. In Acts 26, verse 13, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, notice, unto whom now I send thee. Now, that's not Paul's writings. These are the writings of Luke stating what Paul said when he stood before King Agrippa, recounting what the Lord said unto him. And the Lord said, I'm going to make thee a minister and a witness of the things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Well, then let me tell you something. When people reject the message of the Apostle Paul today in this dispensation of grace, they are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because Paul is his apostle. And he is the apostle of the Gentiles. Look in Romans chapter 11. In verse 11. In Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul is explaining what has happened to Israel and why the ministry has changed. Romans 11, 11, now I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the ministry of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify, what? Mine office. Paul is not magnifying his flesh. Paul is not exalting himself. Paul is magnifying the office given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ, the office given to him on the road to Damascus when he said, I will send thee to the Gentiles. And he did. And Paul acknowledges that as being the apostle of the Gentiles in Romans chapter 15, verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. He also preached to the Jew and to the kings and so forth, but his specific ministry was to go to the Gentiles, and this was unique and different because the Jews, when the 12 went forth, they went to the Jews. And because the Jews never repented as a nation, that ministry did die off, but they were not in rebellion against what God said. God simply saved Paul and brought in the dispensation of grace, giving people another opportunity to be saved. So Paul is saved in Acts 9. In Acts 13, Paul says, all men are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And that is a difference. One of the first differences we see in the ministry of Paul. It's an all-man message. And it's all men are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So what is this? What is the big deal then about Paul? Well, number one, Paul was given the gospel of Christ, and he calls it the gospel of the grace of God. In Matthew 24, Jesus Christ, speaking to the 12, said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. In Luke 24, Christ told the 12, or the 11 at that time, he said that repentance and remission of sins was to be preached beginning at Jerusalem. So what did they preach? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. a very familiar passage. Most everybody knows this, especially those that teach baptismal regeneration. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter is preaching exactly what Christ instructed him to preach. He says in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, now notice the message, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." In Matthew 28, Christ told the 12, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them that believe." In Mark 16, he says, "Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved." That's exactly what Peter and the 11 preached in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. As a matter of fact, flip over to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, I'm going to just kind of summarize this for time's sake. But in Acts chapter 8, in verse 26, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." Flip over verse 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot." He's talking about the chariot of the one mentioned earlier there. I should have read it, I guess. Verse 28, he's returning, sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah. This Jewish proselyte had come to Jerusalem to worship, it says there, the Ethiopian, the eunuch, so forth. Verse 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" And they have an exchange there. Then verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Now, what does it say the man believed? The man believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I want people to understand. I want to make this very clear. It's very important to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. But simply believing that today will not save anybody. It won't save anybody. All the denominations out there in the world, or most all of them, that preach works for salvation, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's a denominational system that teaches that you must be baptized, more than one denominational system. There are multiple systems that teach that you must be baptized in order to be saved. They all believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They would fight you over it. But are they saved? Not if they believe salvation requires, or that baptism is required for salvation. You say, well, why wouldn't they be saved? Because they're trusting in something other than the finished work of Jesus Christ. They have corrupted the gospel and added something to it. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth." Well, what is that gospel? Well, we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Paul says, "Moreover, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12." Well then, what was gospel Paul preached? It was not that Jesus Christ simply was the Son of God. That was the foundational truth. Paul preached that. Peter preached that. But the truth is what Paul said about the Son of God. Peter said that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead to sit upon the throne of David. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Peter said, "Repent and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Paul said, "Christ died for your sins. All of them." He said that Christ gave Himself a ransom. The man Christ Jesus gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And Paul was that due time testifier. To say that Paul and Peter preached the same gospel is totally inaccurate and distorts the truth of the gospel. Because Paul preached the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, not the gospel of the kingdom that's mentioned in Matthew 24. Which Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom should be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." So there's a difference, folks. Paul was the first one to receive this gospel. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 2, he calls it my gospel. In Romans chapter 16, he calls it my gospel. In 1 Timothy, he calls it my gospel. Why? Because it was the gospel committed unto him by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the good news for this age in which we're living, how that Christ died for our sins. And it didn't go simply to the Jew and to those that blessed the Jew. It was all men are justified from all things. Notice what Paul says over in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians 1, just for those perhaps that don't understand the context of what I'm going to read, the entire book of Galatians deals with the fact that Paul had preached the gospel of the grace of God, salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There were those that came behind Paul and said, "Unless you be circumcised, you cannot be saved." Now, that doctrine is not taught widely today, but there are those that will go behind the grace message and say, "Yeah, we believe salvation by grace, but if you don't do this, then you can't be saved. Or if you don't do that, you can be saved. Or if you are doing this, you can't be saved." Listen, folks, there's no restrictions today. Salvation is a faith proposition, if you want to put it that way. It's what you believe. Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe what? That Christ died for our sins. He became a sacrifice for our sins. Paul writes to the Galatians in 1:6, and he says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into what? The grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." When you add works to salvation, what do? You pervert the gospel of Christ. You add water baptism, church membership, repeating a prayer, jumping over a pew. I don't care what it is. If you add anything to it, it's a work. And it's not by works. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Notice what Paul said over in verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you know something, folks? People ought to pay attention to what the words on the page say. Paul heard the message that was preached in the early part of Acts. As a matter of fact, when Stephen preached the murder indictment against the nation of Israel in Acts 7, Paul was standing there listening to it. And when he got through preaching, their men took off their coats and handed them to Paul while they stoned Stephen to death. Paul knew what was going on. He knew what it was. Matter of fact, he said he destroyed or he persecuted the church, the faith he once destroyed. What was that? It was the preaching of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, being the Messiah. And so God saved the Apostle Paul and gave him a separate and a distinct ministry for the church, the body of Christ. He said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, why would Paul make a statement like that if he's simply continuing the ministry that Peter, James, and John had? You know how you know he's not continuing that ministry? Because two places in your Bible, the 12 are told to baptize those that believe. Two places. Matthew 28, Mark 16. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ sent me not to baptize. Then how could Paul be carrying out the ministry of those that were sent to baptize when Christ said Paul was not sent to baptize? Doesn't make sense. You see, all of these things that Brother David was talking about this morning in Sunday school are all these straw men that people build up so that they can knock them down. They're simply that. They're arguments to try to refute the truth of the Word of God rightly divided and the authority of our apostle, the Apostle Paul, who was given the dispensation of the grace of God. Look over in chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, in verse 1, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, folks, anybody that can read and apply just really some common sense would have to ask the question, if Paul is preaching the same gospel that Peter, James, and John were preaching, why would he have to go up to Jerusalem and communicate unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles? The answer is, he wasn't preaching the same gospel. He was preaching the gospel committed unto him, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, which is the gospel whereby people are saved today. The only way a person can be saved today is by believing that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. If you've never done that, then today would be a good day to do that. That's the gospel committed to the Apostle Paul. Now, let's continue. Notice in verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we give place by subjection, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now there are Bibles that will change that verse to read, when they saw the gospel to the uncircumcision and the gospel to the circumcision. But that's not what the Bible says. It was the gospel of the uncircumcision. That gospel was committed to the Apostle Paul. And that's the gospel that Paul preached. That's the gospel that he calls the gospel of Christ. That's the gospel that brings salvation today. It's the truth that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. That's the gospel. Now, one other thing. Look over in Ephesians chapter 3. We're talking about dispensational differences. I believe there are seven dispensations that we can find in the Bible. Some say there's more, some say there are less. But I believe there's seven. I believe that we are living during the dispensation of the grace of God. People say, well, the dispensation is not a time period. Okay, it's not a time period, but it certainly would cover a period of time. I mean, come on. The law came by Moses. Grace came by Jesus Christ. Well, if you're going to use that as the starting of the church, John 1:17, then you'd have to acknowledge that there was a time period from when the law was given to Moses to the time period when grace came by Jesus Christ. So people say, well, that's when it all started. Well, then they're applying a time period. The dispensation has to do with the dispensing of a message. There was a message dispensed by the Apostle Paul that had not previously been dispensed. Oh yeah, the message of Christ being the Messiah was dispensed. The message of Christ dying for sins and being buried and rose again had been dispensed. But you see, that's not the gospel in total. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins. Throughout prophecy, there was going to be salvation for both Jew and Gentile. But the Gentile that could be saved was going to be the Gentile that blessed Israel or came to God through Israel. Today in the body of Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free, male or female. So we're living during a period of time when grace is being dispensed by those that preach it and teach it. Paul says in Ephesians 3:1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore, in few words. Well, how in the world could that dispensation have existed prior to Paul if it was given first to Paul? Well, it couldn't have existed. And it didn't exist until it was given to Paul. And he said in verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Notice what it was, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and in the same body and partakers was promised in Christ by the gospel. Flip back to chapter 2, verse 11. Paul said, wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Notice why. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. You see, those at Ephesus, those people were like you and I. They were not allied with Israel. They had not blessed Israel. They were not part of Israel. They were Gentiles, lost, heathen, idol-worshiping Gentiles. And Paul said, by the blood of Christ, he hath reconciled both unto Christ by the gospel, by the cross, by the blood. The reconciliation process came through what Christ did at the cross when he died for all men. So why do we make an issue over the Apostle Paul? Well, number one, Paul was chosen to be the apostle of the Gentiles. Number two, he was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, if you receive whomever I send, you're receiving me. So it's a dangerous thing to reject the ministry of any writer of the Bible, but it's important that we rightly divide the word of truth and understand who is our apostle. And Paul said that he is the apostle of the Gentile on numerous occasions. Number three, Paul was given the gospel of the grace of God. In Acts chapter 20, Paul said that his ministry that he received of the Lord was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And then fourthly, Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God. Paul, by revelation, went up there to Jerusalem and communicated unto them that gospel which he preached among the Gentiles. The gospel of the uncircumcision. The gospel that we preach today. Folks, there is no reason in the world why people ought to get upset over that or disturbed by that. They ought to rejoice and thank God that God saved a man and gave him a message that would reach out to all men and provide redemption and forgiveness of sins for all that believe. There ought to be great rejoicing in that. But instead, people resist it, people reject it, and as we heard this morning, the reason primarily for that is the tradition of men. Most people believe what they believe today because of tradition. I did for some 24 years. And then I began to read and study the Bible. And really, without very little influence from outside, I saw, simply by reading the Scriptures, that there was a difference in Paul's writings and the teachings of Christ. And that was very liberating to me. And then I saw the gospel of the grace of God. And I trusted that gospel one night. And I believed that Jesus Christ died for my sins and he paid for every one of them. And the night I did that, I got saved. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'd already been preaching for about 5 or 6 years. I thank God for that. I praise God for the Word of God rightly divided, for the dispensation of the grace of God that we live in, and for the truth that was committed to us through the Apostle Paul. If you don't believe the things that I've talked about here today, I simply ask one thing. Search the Scriptures. Check the Scriptures out. Don't receive it because I said it, but be able to prove what you say by the Word of God. It's clear when you read. You start in Romans, go right through Philemon, and look at all that Paul said, and compare it with so many of the teachings of Jesus Christ, and you'll see that there are differences. And there are differences because we are living not under the kingdom program, not under the law, but under the dispensation of God's marvelous, matchless grace. Thank God for that. We have a wonderful message. It's called the Glorious Gospel of Christ. And it's a message that will save anybody that will believe simply by receiving the free gift of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand me for prayer?